The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? What's up? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith. He is Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the King of the Cocks, COVID Jesus. What's up, homie? How you feeling tonight?
Dude, that Poughkeepsie Late Show, that's what comedy dreams are made of.
It was fun. The early show was great too, but that late show was fire. They were both great. Both great shows.
I was all about that late show.
Yeah. Excuse me. Well, yeah, it was a great time. Thank you to everybody who came out. And that was cool too. It was cool that we packed out both shows the day after Thanksgiving, and a lot of fun. You did a great job. BK Chris did a great job on the shows. A lot of fun.
I liked that room. It was like a beer hall. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it had a real Robbie the Fire Bernstein feel to it, didn't it? Yeah, great time up there in Poughkeepsie. Thank you for everyone who came out. We'll come back there again next year for sure. Yeah.
You got the Comedy Store, January 20 or whatever. New
31st.
Year's.
Yeah. No, December 31st. Excuse me. Yeah, that's right. New Year's at the Comedy Store. That's the next one. Come on out to that, everybody. What do you got coming up?
I got Arizona this weekend, Tucson on Saturday, Phoenix on Sunday. And then the next weekend, I've got St. Louis on Thursday, Kansas City on Friday, Omaha, Nebraska on Saturday. Come follow the tour. Pack the kids into the car.
Hell yeah. I'd recommend not bringing the kids. But yes, do come out to see Robbie.
No, leave them in the car. I'm not saying to bring them into the show, but, you know.
Crack a window.
Yeah.
Everything will be fun. all right. So there's a lot of stuff that I want to get to on today's podcast. So let's just try to get through it and cover as many things as we can. We were supposed to record an episode while we were up there in Poughkeepsie, but we were running late, time constraints, yada, yada. I put the wrong hotel into my GPS because I'm retarded, and I ended up being too late. We didn't have time to do it. So we have not recorded since the dinner heard around the world with Kanye West and Donald Trump. Kanye West also brought with him Nick Fuentes and Milo Yiannopoulos, evidently. And the four of them.
What a posse.
Just unbelievable. I mean, I don't
know
exactly.
Dream team of Twitter trolls.
I do not know exactly what the hell happened here. But I don't even know what my takeaway is from this. I don't even know. I don't know. I can't think of a topic before that I've ever brought to the show where I'm like, I don't even know what I have to say about it, but I just have to say something. I don't know. It's a bizarre world that we're living in. And it's so surprising that this would happen. I had no idea that Kanye would like have Nick Fuentes and Milo Yiannopoulos's number to like, even like, text them and, you know, be like, hey, let's all fucking go. Hey, Trump just invited me. Let's all go over there. I don't know what happened. I did see that Trump, he posted something almost kind of trying to distance himself from Nick Fuentes. And he was like, well, I have a good relationship with Kanye. I don't know who this Fuentes character is, you know, blah, blah, after
it's a good thing they got those documents because apparently he doesn't screen who comes over.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Trump. I mean, that's incredible that he ended up in a meeting with those people. I mean, talk about a guy who's got to kind of police his public relations and not coming off as a Nazi.
Yeah, it's a yes. Look, however you feel about all of the characters involved, it's just the type of thing that you would think that Donald Trump would at least have some handler around him being like, ah, don't do Dude, that. That's a bad look.
This was like Yee showed up and he's like, Donald, we're putting a team together. I've got Kanye, the best of band of Twitter.
Kanye said afterward that he asked Donald Trump to run as his vice president.
Gangster
the
shit.
Nexters, which is, you just, how can you not love that? How is that not just the fucking greatest thing ever to say? Ben Shapiro's been flipping out about this, which I will say in general, I think Ben Shapiro does himself and the Jewish people no favors by one. This is my advice to my fellow Jewish people. Don't start whining about anti-Semitism. It only makes it worse. You know what I'm saying? You just come off it. But I will say Ben Shapiro had a pretty funny line that I saw. He said something like, he was like, well, Donald Trump, you know how to avoid having dinner with anti-Semites who you don't know? Probably don't invite the anti-Semites who you do know. So I was like, all right, touche. That was pretty funny. It's just weird also that Trump, you think even Kanye is in a period where almost anybody in the public, like anybody who just a famous person, forget even like a politician, who they'd be like, hey, you want to do a thing with Kanye right now? They'd be like, let's wait it out. Like I feel like if someone asked Dave Chappelle if he wanted to do like a comedy music show with Kanye right now, he'd be like, okay, we got to chill on this for a little bit. Like anyone would be. And so for the former president to just be like, hey, come over. I got to tell you, I kind of love it. Like there's something about it that I go, it's just so, I don't know. It's just so different from what anyone else would do. And I hate the world that I feel like everything has been sucked into these days, all of politics, entertainment, everything. It's like this world of constantly worrying about any perception of bigotry, you know what I mean? Like anything like that. And then you're always apologizing and all this shit. And I almost just kind of, there's something almost refreshing where you're like, wait, anybody else would be scared to do this? And yet the former president, current presidential candidate is just doing it. That's kind of interesting. I don't really, you know, like I was joking around on stage at Poughkeepsie about it. And I was like, just something about Kanye West and Donald Trump having a conversation is just, it's the most fascinating fucking thing. You're like, wouldn't you just love to be a fly on the wall for that? Is that Kanye West is the only person who could talk to Donald Trump and Trump's just like sitting there like, this guy is a little full of himself. This guy really likes to talk, you know? It's like, geez, it's all about him, you know? Like, it's just, I don't know. There's something just fascinating about that. The friendship of Milo Yiannopoulos and Kanye West is hilarious.
He's his
fascinating.
Campaign advisor.
Is that true?
I think so.
Jesus Christ. I don't know, but we'll see. Anyway, I will say this, that to anyone, like, if you're a big fan of any of those guys and you're like, oh, they're meeting with Donald Trump, I'm fairly confident when I say this. If Donald Trump wins the presidency again in 2024, he's not going to be listening to those guys. And by the way, if you're a big critic of those guys and you're flipping out about this, don't worry, because Trump won't be listening to those guys. I guarantee you Trump will be listening to Lindsey Graham once he gets in office more than he's listening to, you know, Milo Yiannopoulos or Nick Fuentes or Kanye West even. But anyway, it was just one of those stories. It was one of those, no matter where you fall on this, whether you're appalled or happy or just kind of whatever, indifferent to it, which I think is more or less where I fall. It's just one of those, like, what fucking timeline are we living in type of stories. Anyway, I've podcasted with Milo and with Nick Fuentes before, so now I just got to cross Kanye and Trump off the list, and I'll have the whole crew. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on it? I really got nothing else to say.
Well, apparently, I think Donald Trump lives in reality TV, and he loves reality TV so much he couldn't not have the opportunity to sit down with Kanye in person and call his wife a slut. I mean, his ex-wife.
Oh yeah, evidently he did.
Yeah.
Right?
He couldn't not do that. Like, I'm sure he sat there the whole time, didn't listen to any of what they were saying, just going, I'm so sorry she had to fuck Pete Davidson. I'm sure that's all he wanted to do was talk to Kanye. Yeah.
Listen, you got a slut ex-wife. I have a slut ex-wife. I got a couple of them. I've been there, you know. Yeah. Fucking so bizarre. Has Trump tweeted yet, by the way?
No, not as far as I know.
Yeah, it's the most discipline I've seen out of Trump yet. But he still has not used his Twitter. I thought first day he was going to be right back. I'm surprised by this.
You would think after a meeting like this, he would have to go to Twitter and be like, okay, I can't not talk about this.
All right, so here's what happened. The other thing that's interesting, right, is that Donald Trump was like the most Zionist president probably we've ever had. I mean, he was all about his love for Israel and his doing everything he could for Israel. And go, you know, when he always talked about Israel as the greatest friend of America. But I don't know if you remember this. I thought there, Netanyahu, he just kissed Benjamin Netanyahu's ass for his entire administration. And then Netanyahu kind of stabbed him in the back, I think, at least from Trump's perspective, that he basically congratulated Joe Biden I don't remember exactly the details, but it was very shortly after the election. It wasn't even just like when Trump was still refusing to concede the election. It was still when they were kind of like, oh, well, there might be recounts in these states and we haven't exactly figured out all the votes here and there. Like, it wasn't even that clear that it was actually over. You know what I mean? This wasn't like in December or something like that. It was pretty early. And I'm just wondering if Donald Trump doesn't have a beef now.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, that's, I don't know. This is pure speculation, but I wonder if that's, because it just seems to me like that's the type of thing that could get Donald Trump to like he would remember that.
Right.
He would remember like anything that was like a personal slight against his own greatness type shit. That being said, his daughter did convert to Judaism.
Yeah, but now they're sticking him up.
Who is?
Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump. Like, they wouldn't even come when he was begging them, apparently, to come when he was making his presidential announcement, and they said no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That I did not know. Oh, that's an interesting twist, too. Wow. So he's like, Kanye, I get it. All the Jews are turning on me, too. Yeah. They gave me these bullshit contracts. Wow. Anyway. I'm very curious. Would have loved to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Curious how it goes. And we'll see how this all
I hope Kanye
played.
Convinces him, the dream team.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, isn't there something, there's something kind of interesting about the position that Trump is in where, you know, so all of the people who are like really outraged. And then look, there are some people who are, you know, maybe more like, not like progressives who were also like, you shouldn't meet with these guys. You know what I mean? Like, there are people who are Trump supporters who were against this. But for the like the progressive types who are outraged at Donald Trump for meeting with Kanye and these guys, there's something kind of interesting about it where it's like they're like, this is appalling and he should apologize for this. This is unacceptable, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, you guys have no more bullets in the chamber. You've already gone to 11 with Donald Trump. You know what I mean? You kind of can't. Do you get the point I'm making? Like, you're already so outraged by the guy. You've already called him a Nazi and whatever, an insurrectionist and like all everything you could think of, that it's like, what do you have left? What do you have left to say? It's almost like they want to be like, no, seriously, he's a Nazi now. But you've already been calling him that for fucking 6 years, 7 years, whatever. So it's a weird thing. He almost, in a weird way, the hysteria almost puts him in a situation where he has no incentives not to fucking meet with whoever the fuck he wants to. because what are you going to do? So I remember all the time people would always make these excuses for Donald Trump. It would just drive me crazy when I'd be like, oh, like he kept Fauci on the job for all of 2020 and you're still going to defend this guy. And they'd be like, oh, dude, if he had fired Fauci, the media would have destroyed him. And you're like, well, good thing he kept Fauci on the job and avoided the media attacking him. You know, like all they spent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week attacking him. So what? Yes, obviously they would have attacked him. They attacked him while he was there. It doesn't matter. So like he might as well have done the right thing there. Now, I'm not saying this was the right thing. I'm just saying in terms of the way the incentive structure lines up, it's like, why should he care if those people are going to attack him who are always going to attack him no matter what every single day? That being said,
well, I just
that being said, for the record, I think the Jews are cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually starting a super PAC called Jews for Kanye. And even though the last time he ran, it took one speech and some dumb comments about abortion and then him going, all right, I'll get back on my meds. And then his marriage falling apart and then him spiraling till he made maybe anti-Semitic comments. And then the whole world hated him where he's like, my only choice is to run for president again. But I still support this movement.
There you go. Well, he's back on Twitter. He's got a Twitter account going. So that's something. Speaking of
and I'm the true black Israelites, just in case anyone didn't know that. I renounce my Judaism, but I'm the real black Israelite.
That's interesting. Maybe we should play that game with them. They're like, no, we're the real Jews. Be like, fine, fine, but we are black.
Yeah.
So what do you say now? We'll just switch places. You know what I'm saying, my brother? Okay. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Crowd Health. If insurance companies invest in your premiums, they reap the rewards, not you. With Crowd Health, you can put aside money for health expenses in your own account. You can even hold part of it in Bitcoin. And the best part is, if Bitcoin goes up, you get the upside, not big insurance companies. Plus, you'll be part of the Crowd Health community who are there to help if a big expense comes up. Here's why your healthcare bills are so high. It's the government. That's right. As you may have guessed, the government ruins everything. So basically, Obama, when he created Obamacare, put in this policy that health insurance companies can only make 15% profits on the premiums that they charge. Sounds nice, right? Limiting their profits. But so that means if they have $1,000 a month premium, they can only make $150 as profit. So what do they have to do if they want to make more profits? No, that's right. They have to raise your premiums. So that's why your premiums go up every single year. That and the dollar being devalued. So anyway, there's no wonder that healthcare prices are so high because health insurance companies are trying to make more money, and that's the only way they can do it. But Crowd Health is an alternative to health insurance. You pay one low monthly total, less than $200 most of the time, to fund an account that's yours. You can hold 75% of that in Bitcoin if you want to, by the way. And you can choose whatever doctor you want. If you have a big bill, CrowdHealth will crowdfund that bill for you so you pay the doctor or the hospital quickly. You have a personal care advocate who takes care of your questions. You can kiss big call centers goodbye. Just schedule a call with your care advocate and you can talk to the same person every time. Stop supporting the broken health insurance system with your hard-earned dollars. Go to joincrowdhealth.com/POTP now and experience freedom from health insurance by utilizing Bitcoin. And right now, you can get your first 6 months for just $99 a month. That's almost 50% off the normal price and a lot less than a high-deductible healthcare plan. Go to crowdhealth.com/POTP to sign up. That's crowdhealth.com/POTP. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply. All right, let's get back into the show. So Elon Musk recently announced, and I don't, this hasn't happened yet, as far as I know, but he recently announced that he is doing the thing that we were wondering about. And he did, he floated out the idea of a Twitter amnesty. Then he did another one of these polls, and he was like, should we have amnesty for all of the Twitter suspended accounts? And the vote here, hold on, let me try to pull up the tweet to get it. Motherfucker, he tweets a lot. But so he basically had a vote. Here's the poll. Should Twitter offer a general amnesty to suspended accounts providing that they have not broken the law or engaged in egregious spam. So, you know, egregious spam, I assume, is referring to like almost bot or like, you know, the accounts I get sometimes where it's just like trying to get you to click on some link or sell you something or something like that and just tweeting over and over again. And then broken the law, I assume. Yeah, you know, like actually advocated violence or incited violence or something like that. But this was the question. Should we offer a general amnesty to suspended accounts, provided that they have not broken the law or engaged in egregious spam? 3,162,112 votes. 72% said yes. It was a pretty overwhelming result.
I will say, though, that's got to be skewed by who's actually following Elon. Like, I didn't even see that Twitter poll. So that's got to be like, if you were actually running a vote of Twitter, there's no way that's a great representation. Absolutely. I mean, God bless. Let him back on. I'm all for
Rob,
it.
Rob, if your point is this is not a scientific poll of the general population,
right.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But regardless, those were the results. And then he tweeted, this is 3 days ago. And then he tweeted, the people have spoken. Amnesty begins next week.
Nice.
So this is, you know, as we were talking about in what is the last episode or a couple episodes ago, this is a huge thing. However you feel about it, it really is. Like, there are just a lot of people who were very influential people who got banned over the last 5 or 6 years or so. And a lot of them, it really did take them out of the conversation, you know, that they got banned. And it'll be very interesting to see how many of these people come back. And at this point, I got to tell you, I mean, I don't know, but at this point, I think Elon Musk is going to do it. Like, I don't think he's going to say that and tweet it at this point and then not do it. I could be wrong, but I mean, he said the thing about Trump and then he did that. And there's also been several other people who have brought back. I think that I kind of feel, I don't know about you, like, look, there are, I don't think anyone would completely like defend the idea that no one ever should be kicked off of social media. Like, even just the example of like, I don't know. I think that my line would be like, blatant threats of violence, like actual incitement to violence or something like that. Doxing, I think, like putting out people's personal like information, I think would to me be a line. Child porn, you know, that would be a line to me, like any something like that. I think I'd be fine with like those people getting kicked off. I think it could be fairly easy to just be like, these are the rules. These are the basic rules, you know, in the same sense where you go like, whatever, if you go, you know, if you go into the town square, you should be able to say whatever you want to say. But that doesn't mean you can, like, you know, pull your dick out. Like, OK, there's some rules. That's fine. But I do feel like I would support even a blanket amnesty on Twitter, almost in the sense where, like, you know, sometimes there'll be like a president where, like, you know, or not a president, but you know, if you find out that there's a cop or like a judge or someone like that who was like planting evidence, like a cop who was planting evidence on people he arrested, and you catch him with that, and you're almost like, well, now we have to review everyone you ever arrested. Like, now I don't trust anything you ever said happened, or like, now, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like Twitter was so biased and fucked up in the way that they were banning people that now I go like, well, I don't trust any of these bannings. I don't know what the fuck you guys were doing. I know so many times you guys were banning people for completely fucked up reasons. It was obviously just because they had politics that you disagreed with. So yeah, fuck it. Let's let them all on here. And I'll say in general, and I think you agree with me on this, Rob, but I just think it's like, it's really just, it's better for Twitter. It's better for the country that we just let all these voices be heard. I don't think driving them underground, I don't think embracing censorship is going to be, just a pure consequentialist argument. I forget the morality of it, which we've also made that case. But I just think it's like, it is better for the country for us to have this battleground where people can battle out their ideas than driving people into dark corners, you know?
We need to bring as much as the disenfranchised together in order for Kanye to possibly be able to take on the Jews. So
yes,
I think Elon bringing all these people back to one centralized location is really going to help in the fight and to restore Q to its prior greatness.
Well, it is something I do think also, like, there's something that I've seen with a few different examples where I think in a weird way, sometimes I've seen these guys, they just get more right wing when you when you deplatform them from all of these tech platforms. And I think part of that is that, someone like Kanye West's example, right? If you come out and you're like, you know what? I think the Jews are like controlling the media and the music industry and whatever else. And I think they're fucking us over. Like, I'm really pissed off at them. And then you utter that statement, and for that, you lose billions of dollars and you're banned off all social media platforms and your banking apps don't work anymore and your Apple Pay apps don't work anymore. Do you think that leads you to go, I was wrong about the Jews? Or do you think that leads you to say, man, I fucking hate them even more? Just honestly, ask yourself that question. Which one do you think is going to be the result of that? And there's a dynamic like this that happens a lot too. And what I've noticed, particularly when a lot of these guys get kicked off, especially with the influencers and stuff like that, or the content creators, whatever you want to call them, they get kicked off and then they're on like all the alternative platforms that all the right wingers who got kicked off are on. And so now, instead of having this like broader audience, their audience is now exclusively the people who were too right wing for the big social media companies. And so now they're just completely incentivized. Number one, they feel burned by the progressive establishment. And then they're just completely incentivized to go harder and harder right wing, because that's all they're allowed to talk to anymore. Those are the only people that they're allowed to talk to. And so it's like, you know, I even like I saw, this isn't, you know, tech censorship exactly, but I saw an interview with Louis C.K. Recently where he was talking about, you know, I don't know if you remember. You remember he wrote a thing about how Trump was Hitler or something like that in 2016. He was a big Democrat, Louis C.K., you know, and probably still is. But he was like, I wrote this thing. It was stupid. I probably shouldn't have wrote it, you know, when he was talking about how he said Trump was Hitler. Now, it's possible that and I love Louis C.K. I think he's an incredible comic and all that. And he was like, yeah, it was stupid. I shouldn't have written that. But I could just see where, look, I'm not saying he doesn't genuinely believe that. I'm just making the point that, like, of course, he's much more incentivized to realize that now, because so much of that side hates his guts and will never forgive him. And the other side was completely willing to forgive him. And they're like, you know what? You can come. We want to laugh at your jokes again.
You jerk off in front of women all the time. Yeah, that's what it means to be a right-wing conservative.
Right. But you know what I'm saying? You get the point I'm making, that now it's like, so you're kind of incentivized to not like fucking piss off your audience. We all deal with these kind of struggles. We do our best to kind of like guard against it and still try to tell the truth and shit. But like, you just... You at least end up incentivizing everyone to dig their heels in more. And there's a real problem if, like, if you just kick all the right wingers off fucking the big social media companies, and then the big social media companies are just left wingers and those other alternatives are just right wingers. And then it's like no one's talking to anyone anymore. And everyone just gets more and more dug in to their fucking sides. And really, like, our whole thing is to kind of be like, No, what you want is to kind of wake everybody up to how fucking corrupt this whole system is. And that, I feel like that only happens if you have a chance to like speak to as many people as possible. So I just think this is, I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I think it's a good thing to bring all of these people back. And then in some ways, I also just think that even like some of the crazy right wingers who have been kicked off Twitter, and I disagree with them on a lot of shit, but it's like, I don't know, they don't kick any of the fucking crazy left wingers off there, or they don't kick too many of them off there at least. And so I'd rather at least see there be someone battling them out, at least bring balance back to the universe. You know what I mean?
Jews for Yeezy.
Well, that is your super pack. All right. Okay, so what was the other thing I wanted to talk about here? Okay, so there's been some big uprisings in China, it looks like, right? Have you been following this at all, Mr. Bernstein?
Well, pretty wild on the back of Carl Schlabby Schlabawabs going, hey, look at how great of a job China's done at controlling its entire population. What happened in China this past year with digital passports, from the footage I've seen, is the creepiest shit in the world. That it, basically, you got to get tested regularly. They know where you are at all times because they got facial recognition software all over the place. And you got your phone on you and you get a green or red that lets you know whether or not you have to quarantine. But I mean, we saw footage of quarantine where it seemed like people were running out of food. We've seen footage of quarantines of people actually getting like blocked into their buildings. I've seen camps that are being set up that people are sent to with like the shelter style homes. I mean, it's been madness. They have full control over the population through a digital infrastructure that just lets them know, hey, you're not allowed to be anywhere other than your house. It seems like one giant fucking prison. And this has been ongoing now for, what are we, 3 years now? 2.5 years?
Yeah, it seems like there's been some kind of like pauses and then restarting of it and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But so it hasn't like been straight, I don't think. But yeah, look, there's no question.
People have been dying. Like, I mean, I don't know how widespread it is of people being starved in their own homes or fires that people couldn't get out like of. But, you know, as much propaganda as there might be to hear, hey, the CCP is looking out for you. I guess at some point when you firstly have been locked in your house for extended periods of times and you personally witness people dying or suffering under the hands of a regime, that's when people stand up and just go, well, fuck this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really something. You know, look, China is a brutal authoritarian and a really creepy government. And it is very worthwhile to take very seriously the fact that they were early on praised by the World Health Organization for their handling of COVID. Like the same global governing body that is advising all of us that we're sending our tax dollars to was praising this, like, oh, they did
and
a very
praising
good
their
job.
Incredible labs that would never leak these,
right. And so that was, you know, pretty goddamn creepy. We got some footage of some of the like protests, riots, uprisings that have been going on there. Brian, let's take a look. Yeah, that looks fun. But it's real party.
I guess without being there, it's hard to actually get a gauge on how widespread this is. But based on everything I see with the CCP, it seems like if you're going to stand up, I don't know how that goes unnoticed. It seems like people do get in serious trouble there. So this seems like this must be a real breaking point.
It's very hard to say. You know, it's very, very hard. Obviously, this is like a very violent clash that we just saw right there. But it's very, very hard. And especially when there's so much propaganda everywhere. You know, I'll see this, like there's these protests in Iran going on that have been going on now for several weeks. And it's just like, it's very hard to tell. I've seen over the last decade, there's been several points where there were big protests in Iran where, you know, you'll see Western media being like, this is it. The government's going to be toppled and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, huh? Well, is it? I don't know. You know, if you think about it from the perspective of in America, where we understand our own country a lot better than we understand these countries. You know, if you do you remember how big the crowds at Occupy Wall Street were?
Yes.
They had huge, huge protests down there. And if you just looked at that protest and like took a image of it, you know, you'd be like, wow, this is crazy. And you could imagine being in some faraway country where they'd be like, they go, look at these protesters. The people are about to overthrow the government of the United States of America. But if you ask anyone in America, even at the absolute height of Occupy Wall Street, anyone in America, you go, are these people, do you think they're about to overthrow the government of America? You'd be like, wait, what? No, there's no chance. There's literally a 0.00% chance that they overthrow the government. It's nothing even close to like prepared to do that. So it's hard to say, like, even short of overthrowing the government, it's just very hard to gauge around the world what is actually going on here. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our favorite sponsor for today's show, which is Sheath Underwear. Sheath Underwear makes the most incredibly comfortable boxer briefs I've ever worn. If you're sick of boxers that are too loose or briefs that are too tight, you gotta check out Sheath. I'm wearing a pair of Sheath Underwear right now as I speak. In fact, I'm wearing a pair of Sheath Underwear every single time you hear from me because it's the only underwear I own. It's the best. You have to get one pair. Get one pair and put it on, and I'm telling you, you're gonna be just like me, and you're never gonna want to wear anything else. Their stretchy fabric is made out of a moisture-wicking technology. They're soft and comfortable. They keep everything cool and right in place. Sheath is particularly useful if you're working out or you're in a hot environment. They'll keep you nice and cool. I was a little skeptical about the dual pouches, but let me tell you, it is a game changer. And by the way, if you're not into the idea of having dual pouches, you can just wear them like regular underwear, and they'll be the most comfortable pair of boxer briefs you've ever put on your body. Plus, they have new materials like bamboo and mesh for even more cooling support. They also have hoodies and gator necks and a whole bunch of stuff for the winter. Go check them out at sheathunderwear.com. Get the most comfortable underwear you'll ever own. And if you use the promo code PROBLEM20, you'll also get 20% off your entire order. That's sheathunderwear.com, promo code PROBLEM20 for 20% off your order. All right, let's get back into the show. I will say that there's always speculation with these things. Whenever there are enemies of the empire that have these protests going on, you see speculation that like, oh, I wonder if the CIA is fucking, you know, aiding these protests or, you know, helping to organize them or something like that, or some other, you know, covert government action. I do not know. I have no idea if the US is involved in either of these in Iran or in China in any of these protests. I know they certainly were in Ukraine in 2014, and they certainly have been in tons of color-coded revolutions. But let's just say if you found out they were, it wouldn't be a shocker. But
We've been on their side with Corona the whole time. We bought this virus from them.
Well, yeah. Well, look, no, but we're not on China's side. I mean, there's no question. There's been, and in fact, I don't think so, dude. Biden's actually been very hawkish in a lot of his posturing toward China. This is like one of the big things that has gone underreported is, and in the Obama administration as well, they're very hawkish on China in a lot of ways. Military war games, like in their area, like a lot of shit like that. I think that, like, in Iran, I'm a little bit more suspicious. In China, I go, it seems pretty believable to me that like people would be protesting these incredibly severe lockdowns and this insane zero COVID policy that they have. You know what I mean? Like, it's just wild. What is it? I mean, I don't know if you like, I was reading the numbers the other day, but I can't remember them off the top of my head. But what they are doing is such an overreaction to the actual issue. Like, when you look at the number of cases and shit like that, and you're talking about like fucking these Omicron subvariants, this isn't even like COVID at the beginning which never warranted the response that it got. But this is like really crazy overreaction by China here. But I will say this. This is something I always try to keep in mind. And so this was Daniel McAdams, who's, of course, the co-host of the Liberty Report with Ron Paul, and has been a great journalist throughout his career. And he was a foreign policy advisor to Ron Paul when he was in Congress. He always says this. This is like his. By the way, I really hope he gets reinstated on Twitter. I think he got kicked off for calling Sean Hannity a bitch, which is just objectively true. Like, you should no one should be able to kick you off for state. He was just following the science, really. Hopefully he'll get back on soon. He has this rule that he's like, the rule for libertarians is you never do the bidding of the CIA. Like, no matter what, how you feel about a situation, you just never do their bidding. And so I like, and his example that he'd use, and there were libertarians who did this, that were like, he goes, if in like in January of 2003, you're not writing articles about how authoritarian Saddam Hussein is. You know what I mean? Even though he is, even though he was a brutal dictator, but you're not just like writing articles about like this Saddam Hussein is so unlibertarian and it would be really great if he was not the dictator anymore. You know what I mean? Because it's like, what are you really doing when you do that? You're just giving cover to the war party who's obviously trying to implement this policy of a regime change war. So like, don't do that. Just don't do that, you know? And so I'm always very mindful of that. Like, I just don't like, I think people get way too caught up in like, you know, if you don't support the US going and getting in another disastrous war, then like, keep that in mind. I'm not saying you can't ever criticize foreign governments, criticize them, but always keep that in mind when you're trashing Iran or China or any of these other countries. Like, always make sure that you at least attach to that point that like, but we should have nothing to do with it. Like, our government should have nothing to do with this. And this is kind of like one of the things I just see there being so much like kind of popular energy building, like, oh yeah, like it always goes right from like, hey, I'm rooting for these people, which is fine. But it always goes right from that to like, and our government should be supporting them, or we should be, you know what I mean? Like, if not sending them arms, at least sending them some money or sending them that, you know? And that's the like, to me, that's a much bigger threat than any of the shit they're doing over there. Like, let's worry about, you know, yes, the Chinese lockdowns are brutal. We just had lockdowns of our own in this country, and no one's been held responsible for it. So before we go liberate the people of China, let's make sure that we fucking liberate like the people in Washington, D.C. You know, like, let's make sure we liberate the people in Washington. The government in Washington can't even bring liberty to the people in Washington, D.C. They can't even solve the violence problem in Washington, D.C. They're probably not going to solve it around the globe. I'm sorry, you were saying.
No, I would agree 100%. Have some realism. I mean, if somehow the citizens of China managed to overthrow that government, I'd be the first to say, hey, before there's a power vacuum, if there's something that we can do to maybe help with stability in that region, which obviously is our propaganda word. But I'm just saying, if there was something we could do in that case to help them out, I might be like, yeah, it sounds like a really bad bet and a good way to go to war with China to be getting involved. Yeah. Like, I don't even, you'd have to explain, like, explain to me the bet. What's the risk reward here? What are the specific things that we could do to potentially help them in any capacity that doesn't end up in some massive global problem?
Here's what we can do. Stay the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Stay the fuck out of it. Where the hell do we intervene where it actually helps?
You know
them?
How we helped them?
We helped Ukraine by intervening in their, by supporting their coup in 2014. And then we helped them by sending a whole bunch of weapons in. You know what the justification for sending the weapons in 2018, 2019 to Ukraine was? It was to deter Vladimir Putin from invading.
You know, here's
great job.
How we help them. I know how we help them. we live better over here.
Yes.
So that it sets an example. And then we ban American companies from helping China build technology that can be used against its own citizens, which would include Boston Dynamics and whatever fucking creepy ass robots they're making, and Google and whatever way they facilitated the search engines. That's how you help them. We live better over here by example.
And even short of like, here's what you do, right? We actually become a free country. You have all of the ungodly success that comes along with that. That spreads around. People see that and want to emulate it, as that has happened over and over again with America, particularly like before. People kind of like almost forget this. I was listening the other day to this woman. She must have been, I think she was probably like in her 50s or something like that. And she was talking about being, she's like a fluent Russian, fluent in Russian, but she's an American. And she's like gone over to Russia a bunch of times. I think she studied over there or something like that. I don't know. And she was talking about how when she would go over to Russia in the mid 90s, she was like, it was like being a rock star. Like they just loved that an American was there and just wanted to talk to her all about America. Like you got to think, like the Soviet Union had just collapsed and they were like so optimistic that they were like, maybe we can have nice shit like you guys have, you know? Like, oh, you guys, it's all awesome with your blue jeans and your music and your this and your that, you know, and like, oh, you guys have stuff, like you guys are never worried about food. That's awesome. Like, I'd love to be, you know, like it was just like this kind of feeling of like, we want to have what you guys have. And then she'd talk about how she kept going over there and more it would be like, oh, you're not a rock star anymore. And now it's like, oh, we're kind of suspicious of you. And then it's like, now we kind of fucking hate you. And like how it just kind of like, and it's like, it's not just the 20 years of like the war on terrorism, but it's also like the aggressive posture toward Russia and NATO expanding eastward and all these like feelings of like, yo, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, you guys aren't like this, the example we want to follow anymore. Now you guys are like, you're the dominators of the world. And this, and there's so much that like, there's so much to that, that we fucked up our opportunity to be just the example of like, oh, look, you guys are free and this is why it's so much better. So you could do that. And then, you know what you'd need, even short of like banning, like which maybe there should be some things banned if it's like directly working with like an authoritarian government or something like that. But just imagine we just had an honest media that exposed it and really like ran exposés. I'm like, you know how quick it would be to like shut Google down from doing all that shit if like there wasn't like a complete blackout in the press from like actually reporting on this shit. That's the type of shit that we need. But like I'm a big believer in like, you know, there is this tendency, and I see this all the time. You know, I was bringing this up when I was it was a shit show, but I'm going back on those guy Adam and Sitch, I believe is it Sitch or Stitch? I apologize, it's one of those two. I was only on once, but I'm going back on their show to argue more with them. Last time it was a real shit show, but hopefully next time's better. But I was kind of making this point where they were like, you know, one of them said, I can't remember which one. One of them said something like, they were like, well, so you think like Vladimir Putin should just be able to like invade Ukraine and there shouldn't be any consequences for him? Like, you think they should just be able to do that without like something happening to them? And I was like, okay, let me ask you, what should happen to us for all the shit we've done? Like, what do you think? I mean, you can't just have a country that's allowed to invade Iraq and Afghanistan and launch covert, you know, regime change wars in Syria and overthrow the government in Yemen and then prop up the Saudis to conduct a genocide there and then launch a JSOC war in Somalia and then overthrow the government of Libya and destroy the whole fucking country, right? I mean, what should happen? And they basically just dismissed it. They're like, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, you can't say we're as bad as Russia or something like that. Like, they had no real response to it. But it's like, there's this real tendency to like always focus on like how bad the other guy is. And I'm not saying that's not true. I'm not saying that like other guys aren't bad. Like, governments are all bad, but some of them are a lot worse than others. China's a lot worse than a lot of others. And so is Iran, you know, but there's just like this, like, It's like, hey, before we worry about like them getting their comeuppance, like, you know, isn't there something like interesting psychologically about that? That people over here, even after what we've been through in the last 3 years, are still like, yeah, it's like externalizing things. You know, when people do this in their own lives where they have a million problems, but they're ranting about how someone else is fucking up somewhere. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. You're so worried about liberating these people.
Where's the conversation? Why aren't we liberating the people of North Korea? I mean, should Kim Jong-un just be allowed to get away with that to his people? What about the Uyghurs? I mean, you got people in concentration camps in China. Why aren't we going over to China and fighting them to liberate the people? I mean,
by the way, there's a lot of propaganda with that shit, too, with the Uyghurs. Fucking propaganda.
Oh, they're actually okay?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think the Chinese government's pretty rough on them, but all those like genocide claims are...
They have extra organs? They're putting organs into them?
I'll just say this. There's no evidence that a genocide is happening at all. And they act like there is, but there's not. And in fact, the guy, Adrian Zen, the guy who was the main guy. So when Mike Pompeo, it was right at the end of the Trump administration when the State Department like officially recognized that a genocide was happening in China. And the only guy who they sourced was him. It was this Adrian Zen guy, and all of his data was completely wrong. I think he even admitted it, but it was like,
so it was
people
like the Holocaust and never even happened.
People, it was like, dude, I don't have the numbers. Yes, it was just no. That one did happen. This one didn't. I forget the numbers, but dude, it was something like this. Like this may not be exactly right, but it's like. This was basically the thing that he goes like, he said basically like that 87% of the like, the fucking like, sterilization or something like that, where they, you know, like were sterilizing them so they couldn't have kids, like 87% of it was against Uyghurs. So they were doing it to a bunch of people, but the overwhelming majority was against the Uyghur population. And you look at that, and you're like, oh, wow, that, I mean, yeah, I guess that really is an effort to like fucking exterminate, you know, their future population. And then they looked at the data and they realized like he didn't carry the one or something like that. And it was 8.7%, not 87%. So it was like, oh, this is not even like.
So they might have more semen than the regular population.
When they claim that there's a genocide going on, they're not saying, I don't think anyone's making the claim that they're like exterminating them. It's not like a Nazi genocide. They use under the UN definition of genocide, where you can also, it's also a genocide if you like any effort to like, you know, stop the reproduction of one group with the intention of like eliminating that group type thing. So that's what their claim is, but the evidence just really isn't there. They definitely crack down on them. They're definitely not the like represented in the government, and they're but even during when China had the one child policy, the Uyghurs were allowed to have, I think, 3 children. And then when China lifted it and let people start having 2 kids, they brought the Uyghurs numbers down to 2. So they said everyone can have 2 now. So it's just, look, it's insane. It's insane commie, like, you know, it's real deal socialized healthcare. Not socialized like in the way that Bernie Sanders means, like socialized in the government owns everything and decides how it'll be distributed. It's really, really fucked up. But I'm just saying there's a lot of propaganda about this shit that is just not accurate. That is just not accurate at all. And upon just scratching the surface a little bit, you find out that it's a lot of lies. And so I just like, I think people should always be skeptical of the, you know, it's like, you know, at this point, if you listen to this show, God damn it, you know, at this point, how full of shit and corrupt the entire corporate press is. And always keep that in mind. You know what I mean? Always keep that in mind. They're not just full of shit on this one issue that you know about. They don't take their word for any of this other shit. And to me, like, I always feel like the most important priority as an American is that my country is free first. You know, if we were in a free country, then maybe we could start talking about how we free everyone else. But that's my priority. And seeing as how I live under and I'm forced to fund the most war hungry country in the world, my priority is that they don't get involved in any more of this shit. Just bring disaster to everywhere in the world. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is YoKratom. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Of course, as you guys know, these guys are just the best sponsors of the entire Gas Digital Network and everything that I'm a part of. If you are over the age of 21 and you are a fan of Kratom, go get your Kratom from YoKratom.com. It's lab-tested, quality stuff. It's delivered right to your door, and it is the best price you're going to find anywhere, $60 for a kilo. YoKratom.com. All right, let's get back into the show. All right. Okay, let's real quick before we get out of here, we'll hit one more topic. Fauci gave a nice interview there, Rob. I know you sent this to me. I have not watched this, but what were your thoughts? Do you miss him already?
Well, he finally decided to face the nation. And he's really sticking to his story. Schools might close. People got to get vaccinated. Not enough people are listening to us. We need more propaganda money to convince more people to listen to us. It's talk about a guy who's apparently not aware of the most recent science.
Yeah.
But, you know, watching him spin that he doesn't engage in politics, and despite a deposition where he couldn't remember anything, he can justify every decision he ever made, and he's happy to have that conversation publicly. But don't even allow me to spin Fauci's words. You can hear it from him firsthand.
All right, let's listen.
So the White House just asked Congress for another $10 billion in funding.
Yes.
We're technically still in the middle of a pandemic, even though the president said pandemic's over. Is that the worry? I mean, is that where that funding needs to go into?
Yeah, the funding, we really do need that money. I mean, first of all, the Congress has been very, very generous, giving a lot of money for COVID.
Sure has.
That is true, and we're very grateful for that. But we do
just pause for a second
right now.
There's something so funny about that word generous. They sure have been generous with our money.
Generous? I thought you were saving lives. I thought we had no choice. This was an emergency. What do you mean generous?
I just love the idea. It's like, you're generous. Like, yeah, I'm really generous with other people's money. I'm really fucking... You want, Rob, you want someone else's money? You can have all of it that you want. I'll be really, really generous with that. All right. Yeah. Anyway, let's keep playing.
I mean, first of all, the Congress has been very, very generous, giving a lot of money for COVID. That is true. And we're very grateful for that. But we do need more right now for any of a number of reasons, one of which is a practical thing of outreach and PSA campaigns to get people to be vaccinated. If you look at the number of people who are
just
eligible,
pause it for
that,
a second. Just pause it. That's the issue. So they haven't told people about this vaccine enough. You've had the biggest propaganda campaign in the history of the world to get this goddamn shot. But the problem is, yeah, people just haven't heard of it, Rob. You know, I talk to people all the time. They don't even know that there is a vaccine for COVID. They're not even aware that the official government position is that you should take it. They haven't heard. But we're really going to need another $10 billion. Imagine saying that's the issue. We need some PSAs, Rob. We need to let people know. Did you hear? There's COVID. You probably haven't even heard about that. There's this virus, okay? And good news, we have a shot. Okay, that's Fauci's final. That's the conclusion he's come to here. That's the issue. We just haven't told enough people. God damn, I don't know, Rob.
No, there's Brian. It's worth playing. They tell the compliance numbers now.
Interesting
to hear how low the compliance numbers are.
Okay, yeah.
Fauci needs more propaganda money.
Oh yeah, let's listen to that.
And PSA campaigns to get people to be vaccinated. If you look at the number of people who are eligible for that updated booster, the BA.4/5 variant,
it's just 11% of the population.
Yeah, it's 11% of the population, which is really, really not optimal. You superimpose upon that that only 68% of the population is vaccinated, and only a half of those have gotten their first boost to begin with, we have a long way to go to optimize our protection against COVID, which is really a shame, somewhat paradoxical, that a rich country with all the vaccines that we need, and we're utilizing them at a much lower level than we should be.
All right. So that is so fascinating, Rob. Goddamn, I didn't even see that data. So I had talked about the booster data, which is, so it's very interesting that, right, it was right around 70% of the adult population got vaccinated originally.
A lot of it by force and mandate.
No question. A lot of it by force and mandates. A lot of it by, like, real deal force, like government forcing you to do it.
You want your job,
And then a lot of kind of private coercion, you know, type, you'll lose your job if you don't get it. And then, of course, a lot by just a lot of social pressure, because there was such a huge campaign. And I always thought this was one of the biggest white pills, one of the biggest, like, kind of like notes of optimism during this whole thing, was that half of those people did not get a booster. But now that Fauci is saying that only 11% of the population has gotten this new COVID Omicron booster, which, by the way, according to all of the research, produces less antibodies against the Omicron than the original booster, than the original vaccine, rather, did. It's a complete failure. That really is something. And of course, Fauci is saying that it's the solution to that is that we just need to tell people about it more, like as if people haven't heard about it. They just need these PSAs. But of course, I think we both know it's like, no, what's happening here is that people are seeing through your bullshit. No one really, first of all, the fear of COVID is way down. What percentage of these people have probably at this point already had a vaccine and had COVID? Probably a lot of them had COVID multiple times already by now. And they're just like, understandably going, I don't need a fucking another.
The reality we live in, where this guy could be so certifiably wrong and have caused so much damage to society, and he's not actively in a trial and under investigation. Instead, he's just nicely invited on the news to continue selling his story for no one to listen to.
Yeah, it really is something, man. It's fucking infuriating, dude. It's really like, I know a lot of this stuff is over, like a lot of the imposition in your life every day is over from COVID, but man, I hope people are still as angry as they should be about this shit, because it's just so goddamn, it's so goddamn outrageous that they got away with this.
We got to purge the stupidity of censorship, listen to the scientists. Like, there's a whole protocol in place for just not having discussion around truth, reason, statistics. Like, you know, the idea of amnesty, no one could have known. Well, yeah, no one could have known once you removed everyone that knew. Why didn't we have any conversations that made sense? Or, like, I don't know. It's like they're still mind fucking us. There seems to be overwhelming evidence that this was an entirely epic failure, and that there are tremendous costs in terms of education, addiction, all the bad habits of people being locked in their homes. Like, there's the inflation. There were tremendous costs to this. And then for him to just still be able to graciously get on the news and be treated like, you know, with respect is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it reminds me of like, when the one of the best clips that came out, one of the best moments in the entire COVID shit, was when Dr. Gupta was on Rogan, and he asked him at one point, and this was like, I think a month after Rogan got COVID the first time, and they were all shitting on him like, oh, you took, you know,
horse paste
or whatever. And he just had this great, God, it was such a great moment when he said how uncomfortable it made Dr. Gupta. When he goes, what do you mean? He goes, why are you guys on CNN saying I took horse dewormer? Like, he goes, I can afford people medicine, motherfucker. And there's something about that, just like, I don't know. Even just the detail of just saying motherfucker, like that's like nothing to me and you. That's like nothing. That's just, that's like saying hello. You know what I mean? You're like, what's up, motherfucker? Like, we don't think about that. But to say that to someone on CNN, there's just something about it. It was like, Rogan's like a very nice guy. And I know him pretty well. And I've hung out with him a bunch of times. A very down-to-earth guy. But he's also really not a bitch. Like, Rogan's like a dude who could fucking, like, kill several men in hand-to-hand combat. You know what I mean? And it kind of like came out, this like kind of alpha thing about him came out, and you could just see Gupta being so uncomfortable. He's like, well, yeah, that's right. And then Dr. Gupta at one point goes, so are you going to get vaccinated? And Rogan goes, no, why would I? I just had it. And he goes, oh, well, yeah. Oh, okay. You do. You have some natural immunity. That's for sure. And he goes, yeah. And isn't that stronger than the vaccine? And he's like, oh, there's a lot of studies do seem to indicate that that is stronger. And he goes, yeah, so why should I get it? And he goes, well, I guess you would just have more protection if you got it. And Rogan's like, yeah, but I'm already more protected than someone who just got the vaccine, right? And he just has nothing. The CNN doctor has no response to this. That's it. He's got nothing. At the same time that they were mandating these vaccine passport shits, you know, that they were mandating that you can't do all of these things unless you're vaccinated, he's sitting there and going, I'm unvaccinated and I am more protected than all the vaccinated people who never had it. So there's, and there's just these moments where, like, so now you look at Fauci, the idea of saying that, like, look, I know so many people. I don't have the numbers on this offhand, so I don't know exactly what percentage of people this is, but it's a huge percentage of people have had COVID. A very large percentage of people have had COVID multiple times. A very large percentage of people have had multiple vaccines and had COVID. A large percentage of people have had multiple vaccines and had COVID multiple times. So what is the clear argument that any of those people, like, I don't know, show me the data on, again, I don't know if that you even can get these numbers, but show me the data on someone who's had COVID twice and has died from it the third time they got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, already had double natural immunity and then died the third time they
got
it.
Must have had a lot of vaccine in them.
Right. Well, or got very sick from it. So, say me, okay? I have had zero vaccines, but I've had COVID twice, maybe three times. Twice that I know about, one other time that I think I might have had it. Okay. Show me the data on that. Show me the data on a healthy, guy in his 30s who's had COVID twice. What the odds are of any type of serious negative outcome for me if I were to get COVID again. You know they don't want to tell you those numbers because you know it's like nothing. Just
still
nothing.
Have more antibodies if you got boosted, though.
Yeah.
I mean, don't talk about general immunity or T cells or anything else, but those antibodies.
Yeah. Well, I would have more antibodies. That is true.
Whatever.
I don't know, the excess mortality rate might go up, so who knows what other problems, but
I haven't seen Gupta or that bitch Wen in a while, that Chinese lady who was like talking about how we need the incentives.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck. I haven't seen her in a fucking long time either. I don't know what any of them are up to. I don't know what Gupta's up to. Maybe he humiliated himself with Rogan so much that they just fucking had to kick him out. All right, let's watch this last clip and then we got to wrap up.
What happens is that if you look at the anti-China approach that clearly the Trump administration had right from the very beginning, and the accusatory nature, the Chinese are going to flinch back and say, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to talk to you about it, which is not correct.
But they're not talking to the Biden administration about it either.
Exactly. I think that horse is out of the barn, and they're very suspicious of anybody trying to accuse them. We need to have an open dialogue with their scientists and our scientists, keep the politics out of it, and let the scientists, because these are scientists that we've known for decades. Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Yeah, there's a pathetic attempt to blame Trump. You know, The truth is that I'll tell you this. There were a lot of like conspiracies. I remember at the very beginning of COVID about, you know, China intentionally inflicted this on the world to get all of us to like lock down our governments or whatever, you know, fuck over the whole rest of the world. You know, watching the out China is think about this for a second, by the way. I should have mentioned this before in the China segment, but it's another thing. First of all, this is part of the reason why I don't think there's any great fear about China. I know there's a lot of people, particularly on the right, who are very concerned that China is going to like take over the world. I've heard this is a defense of the American empire from a lot of people. Well, if we weren't the empire, then China would be the empire. China's going to take over everything. Like China is sitting on, and people should read David Stockman. He is like the fucking best on this. China is sitting on the biggest bubble in human history. Like literally entire cities built that no one lives in that they're now tearing down and rebuilding. China is in no position to become some type of global empire. But think about this. Think about how fucked over our society is from our lockdowns. And that China is still doing lockdowns 10 times harsher than anything we ever had here. They are going to be fucked for a long time over this. So I'm basically, I'll tell you at this point, I'm more willing to believe, I'm more sympathetic to the conspiracy that we did it to China than I am that they did it to us. You know, Fauci wants to go, oh, it's all because Donald Trump was so accusatory of them. I mean, maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe the thing is that it's not really that, you know, maybe the truth is that Fauci did it to them. I mean, after all, Fauci is the one who signed off on doing the gain of function research in that fucking lab over there in Wuhan, isn't he? So really, you go, oh, we should just have, these are just scientists. They're not political actors at all. No. Fauci is not at all political. Don't let the fact that he's worked for government for the last 40 years fuck with you on that. But he's not political at all. Yeah, fuck that guy. God, I really fucking hate Fauci. I think I hate him as much as any government employee. I really think he might be just the most fucking hateable. Just to lie through his goddamn teeth to the American people for all these years to ruin so much of our country. And then to just the whole time just go, and I'm just science. None of this is political. Now, here's what I think all of our policies should be. Like, I'm sorry. If you're the fucking head of the COVID task force, yeah, you're political. You're advocating for policies. That's political. All right. Any final thoughts, Rob? We got to get out of here.
Nah, we did it, man. And I got to pee.
All right. We sure did. And you sure do. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time. Peace.